Hello and welcome to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams. Coming up later in the show, state representatives agree Missouri needs to find better ways to get more jobs in Missouri.
They can't get together because there's a bottleneck in education, because we're not training our workers appropriately.
But first, Kansas political leaders and top officials at Kansas State University support a plan to bring the nation's premier agricultural disease laboratory to the K-State campus. But many people remain uneasy about bringing dangerous pathogens to the nation's heartland. Brian Thompson reports for Harvest Public Media.
The fears surfaced again when a committee of the National Research Council conducted a hearing January 30th in Manhattan.
We felt vindicated when the NRC reiterated our concerns. But we, the public, still do not know how or if our concerns are to be met.
That's Sylvia Beeman, who represents a group called Biosecurity for the Heartland. She's referring to a previous National Research Council report about the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility, or NBAF. The new lab in Manhattan would replace an outmoded facility on Plum Island, just off the East Coast. The NRC detailed several major shortcomings in the risk analysis for NBAF. That's why Congress has asked for a new risk analysis to be reviewed by the committee that recently visited Manhattan. The first analysis seriously underestimated the risk of a release of a dangerous animal virus, such as foot and mouth disease. There's no cure for that disease or for several others that would be studied at NBAF, some of which may be able to jump from animals to humans. That worries Manhattan farmer and rancher Sandy Cravens.
I'm just a dumb farmer, but I am scared to death, and I think people should really, really, really look into the dangers and the safety of our community.
Cravens and several others think it makes no sense to put such a lab in the heartland. They believe an isolated island, like Plum Island, offers an extra layer of protection against the accidental spread of pathogens. That's why Waubonsie County rancher Stephen Anderson isn't swayed by the promise of jobs and economic development associated with NBAF.
Jobs and politics and patronage should not supersede location, 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 and the interest of public safety.
Anderson says many of the greatest disasters in recent memory can be attributed to three inescapable risk factors.
Human error, mechanical failure, or catastrophic event of nature, and they were all totally unexpected.
One such risk that's received a lot of attention is the threat of tornadoes. The original NBAF design would be susceptible to a release of pathogens in the event of an F2 tornado. A much stronger F4 tornado hit Manhattan as recently as 2008. The previous risk assessment called for NBAF to be redesigned to withstand an F2 and possibly an F3 tornado. Manhattan resident Bill Dorsett sees that as inadequate and an example of cutting corners to save money.
How can anyone adequately or validly project future congressional budget cuts? The absolutely last thing we need is a budget germ lab run by the lowest bidder.
And even if the facility is never structurally damaged by a tornado, a twister could still cause pathogens to be released, according to Tom Manny. The K-State Professor Emeritus of Physics and Biology says the design of NBAF would rely on negative air pressure to keep any airborne germs in the secure area. Fans would constantly pull the air into high-efficiency filters so that air can flow into the research area, but not back out. Manny says a study done in Texas shows that a tornado could easily cause air pressure outside the building to drop so low that the ventilation system would be overwhelmed.
In brief, the tornado at a distance of a third of a mile could reduce pressure outside the chamber 50-fold below the inside pressure within a few minutes, and could do this without compromising the structural integrity of the building.
That's a scenario Stephen Higgs has never heard of. He's the director of research at the Biosecurity Research Institute, a facility already in operation at K-State with many of the same security systems that NBAF will have. He was working, however, at a research facility in Galveston, Texas, when a Category 5 hurricane struck.
You know, all research stops, essentially, in advance of an event like that. All of the agents are put in sealed, locked freezers or whatever, the labs can be decontaminated before people exit, and then you're in safe. So it's not like the agents are up and around.
Higgs says any infected research animals would be euthanized and their remains sterilized. However, tornadoes tend to strike without a lot of advance warning. There may well be too little time in the event of a tornado to complete all of those precautions. Supporters of NBAF point out, however, that there's no way to avoid any and all risks. Landon Fulmer is the policy director for Governor Sam Brownback.
The fact of the matter is, if we don't build the NBAF, we put ourselves, our country, our livestock industry at much greater risk than if we do build NBAF. The fact of the matter is that naturally occurring outbreaks of these diseases, whether it's a zoonotic or an FMD outbreak, are completely devastating.
Fulmer says without NBAF, the U.S. would have to rely on research done in foreign countries, and in the event of an outbreak, the response time would be slower. For the moment, Congress is withholding funding for construction of NBAF until an updated risk assessment has been validated by the National Research Council. The panel expects to get its first look at the new risk assessment later this month. They hope to have their review completed sometime this summer. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Brian Thompson.
According to two state representatives, Missouri could do more to match the skills of its workforce to the needs of employers. KBIA's Raymond Tungekar has more.
Speaking on KBIA's Intersection, Representative Stephen Weber, a Democrat of Columbia, said that enrollment limits at universities and colleges prevents the state from developing a workforce large enough to meet the demands of employers, particularly in fields like engineering. He says this forces employers to import workers from neighboring states or foreign countries.
Now, how frustrating is that, that when we have over 8% unemployment, we have people who are trying to improve their lot, who are trying to find jobs, we have employers who want to hire people, who want to expand, and the two can't communicate, they can't get together because there's a bottleneck in education, because we're not training our workers appropriately.
Weber says this workforce scarcity could be mitigated by increasing funding to community colleges and expanding technology schools. Representative Ann Zayer, a Republican of St. Charles, says that customized job training programs could also help plug the workforce gap in certain fields.
We really don't have enough money in the state. We just don't. And each year we're squeezing blood out of a turnip. So we have to get, and you've heard it before, leaner and meaner, but we also have to look more creatively at how we deliver those training services.
Weber says that revenue generated from a proposed internet sales tax could also be used to help fund job training programs. Raymond Tungekar, KBIA News.
Thanks for listening to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams.